Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Left corner three, Gordon Hayward is good. 25 for Gordon. Joe Johnson with his fifth assist of the night.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 24th of February. The home stretch, the final 25, the post-All-Star break season begins in Milwaukee. The trade deadline's in the rearview mirror. We'll talk winners and losers and why the Jazz didn't do anything. Plus, we'll get you ready for the Bucks. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Welcome to Locked On Jazz today. Trade deadline is in the rearview mirror, and the Jazz are still sitting in the exact same spot they were. We'll talk about that. A crazy night of NBA last night with Willie Cauley-Stein. Who are you? Draymond Green going bananas. All sorts of interesting things taking place, and it's the final 25 games of the season, so we've got a lot of fun stuff to talk about. This is Locked On Jazz. We do it every single day for you, Monday through Friday. You can subscribe on iTunes or Android, and if you've given us 5 stars already, I've seen the reviews. I'm blown away by them, and I thank you. And if you haven't and you want to add to the party, we greatly appreciate if you take the time to give the 5 stars along the way. Today's edition of the program, I'm not doing a Pack Friday because on Locked On NBA, I did a Pack Friday about all of the trades, and there isn't really much pack change since the last time we talked, so we'll just get ready for the season instead. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. The Murdoch family came to me recently and asked if I would be interested in doing a sponsorship. We sat down around a table. Adam Chase did a remarkable job of introducing every single Murdoch that was there. I got to know them. I got to understand their business. I walked through what they were doing. I was very impressed by the family themselves and what their vision of how they do their business, how important it is to them, how personal it is to them as the Murdoch family. And then the next question was the Hyundai. And I didn't know much about Hyundai. They told me a story about Robbie Bosco going down and to their store in Provo in Linden and having checked out all the other cars. And then he starts to do the research and realizes that the Santa Fe has got all the gadgets and all the power and all the safety and more room and drives as well and is $20,000 less than the other car he was looking at. And so I'm like, okay, that's interesting. And they put me in to a Santa Fe and now I'm experiencing the same thing Robbie Bosco did. And that is that it does. It has all the features. It has all the bells. It has all the whistles. It has amazing safety features with set the cruise control at 65, of course. And then tell it how many car lengths you want to be away from the cars in front of you. And next thing you know, it just slows you down if the traffic slows down automatically. And frankly, one of the things I liked is when it got snowy the other day, it told me, you know what, our sensors aren't going to work in this, so don't use it. I thought that was really impressive. So I've been very impressed by my experience of meeting the Murdoch family and experience the Hyundai. They've got a cool deal going on right now, Kisses for Clunkers. So if you can drive your car to their lot, they'll give you $3,000 for it, regardless of what it's worth. If it's more than $3,000, they'll give you $500 on top of your Kelley Blue Book value. And then they're going to have some fun with you. There's 5 chocolate kisses around. Each of them have different little awards on the back, and you get to choose one. Some of them can be a vacation, other deals as well. So check it out. The Sonata, the Tucson, the Elantra, the Santa Fe, all sorts of great options for you. If you're trying to get the Elantra or the Ascent and the hatchback, if you want the sedans, you can go to there's an Ascent sedan. You can get started a little bit. There's the Sonata Hybrid as well. The Elantra is a beautiful car. So check out the Hyundais. Compare them to whatever else you're looking at, and then the Murdoch family is a nice place to do business. So those are our sponsors for today. We really appreciate them along the way. If you'd like to advertise on Locked On Jazz, you can email me at dlock09@gmail.com. We actually have some inventory, which we didn't have for a little while. So dlock09 lockedonline@gmail.com. We always start the show with pins across the world. And the choice today, sorry, I was trying to figure out there was two of them I was looking at possibly using, come from Jeffrey Jansen. Pins across the globe. William Smith, Bel Air, Utah. I would like to share with you how I became a Jazz fan. I was born in West Philadelphia and was raised there. I spent most of my days playing basketball on the playground, but also chilling out and relaxing. Then one day, a couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in the living area, and I ended up getting into a fight, which terrified my mother. And as a result, I moved from West Philly in the most peaceful area of Bel Air, Utah. And so, therefore, I became a Jazz fan. A fight, a playground fight, got it done for Jeffrey Jansen. Pretty cool. All right, just different stories of how you became a Jazz fan and where you are along the way. Let's get to the Jazz, the lack of a deal. I think there's a bunch of reasons why a deal wasn't made yesterday. One is what I talked about all week long on Locked On Jazz. There really was no urgency. The Jazz are going to have financial issues. They have financial flexibility issues coming. We can probably start digging into those. I've purposely stayed away from them in the sense that it just takes away from the season and everything that's going on. But as time goes on, we can dig into it a little more. And those decisions have to be made. But none of those decisions had to be made now. And I don't think they were actually at a strength position on any of them, nor maybe will they ever be. But they certainly weren't now. So there was no reason to deconstruct the roster to avoid financial issues that were upcoming unless you were receiving something of value. The second thing is there was no reason to take away some of your strength and flexibility for dealing with it. One of the strength and flexibility things, frankly, on the Jazz roster in the upcoming years, if Gordon Hayward re-signs and they're paying him $30 million, and they're paying Gobert nearly $30 million, and they have to re-sign, and they hopefully re-sign Hill, and then they make their decision on Favors, and they figure out what they're going to do with Hood, and Exum comes around. The fact is that you are going to have, at minimum, roster spots 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. So six roster spots, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. In all likelihood, on minimum or rookie contracts. That is just the reality of what it's going to be for the Jazz once they start to have to pay people. So what are those rookie contracts? Well, they're probably Howell Netto, next year at least. They're Howell Netto. They're Joel Bolomboy. There are two first-round draft picks that we've already acquired. And so we have in 2017, the Warriors pick and our pick. So there's four of them. Maybe one of our second round picks makes the team. That's five of them. And you have to start, you know, and frankly, I just added three players to our roster. So you've got three players that probably don't make it back and, in some capacity there, just financially. So you start to look at these things and that's where, trading a first-round draft pick, and there were scenarios, just to let you know, and I can't be specific, where the Jazz would have done that, where that cost-benefit trade was the player was significant enough that they were willing to do that. So, but that was at a cost, because those are valuable assets to the franchise as we move forward with the financial restraints we're going to have. You've got to have those picks. And there were scenarios where we offered a pick, and tried to go get a player. The other one that was clear was that there was an opportunity or two where they could have added a player, but I kept asking you the same question. Whose minutes are they using? So, you know, there's no way we're staying healthy for the next 25 games. It would be a blessed miracle for us, and also it just defies the way the league works. But you also have a hard time going to acquire a player and then have them sit and not play. So that was part of it. That was definitely a part of it. That if you were going to add a primary player, you probably had to trade somebody who's currently in the rotation, and you had to find someone who's willing to take back that piece. So there were a bunch of constraints. One was just And then the fourth, which I think I've alluded to, is maintaining some of the financial flexibility we need to have for this upcoming season. Hard to bring in more money unless we got rid of some money on a deal. And so nothing lined up. You know, I think too bad for Shelvin Mack. I think there was a strong effort to try to do him a solid and get him to somewhere where he could play some more. But you know what? I think Shelvin Mack's going to turn out to be valuable somewhere along the way here in the next 25 games. We're going to be glad that didn't happen. You know, he'll leave. He'll probably move on in free agency, and we won't get an asset for him. And so you acquired him for a second-round draft pick, and you never – okay, that's fine. I think it – you know, Shelvin Mack's given us far more value than what we paid for, and we were fairly desperate for at the time. But that's why the Jazz come to without a deal. And, you know, the next question is that how big a deal is this? Well, you know, I think it would have been nice if they could have pulled something off. We all would have liked that. And then is that really a deal that gets them better, right? The ideal situation is that we're going to make it to fourth in the West. I think it's almost impossible to get to third. Houston's really good, and the Lou Williams trade was great. So there, and he was brilliant last night, but just before that, I recorded the Locked On NBA trade breakdown before that, if you want to check it out. I think our range is 4 through 7, and then we got to try to win a playoff series. And I don't know if any of that's going to be easy, and I'm not sure there was a deal out there that for the cost was going to give you a dramatic change on whether you were going to win a playoff series or not. And then, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday in a thought exercise, is what is the cost that's worth winning a playoff series? You know, is it worth one of those first-round draft picks? And I don't know if it could have been done, but, you know, those are the decisions. And how much would it really change? You know, if we're right and can get right in the next 25, maybe we're good enough just to win a playoff series. So that's where the Jazz are, why no deal got done. I said this the other day. I don't want to make too big a deal out of it, but for those that are – and Gordon Hayward's free agency is real. It's a free agency. Like, he can go anywhere he wants. He's got the right to do so. He has never had the opportunity to leave at any point if he's wanted to. He tried, you know, if you want to look at it that way, he got the best deal he did from Charlotte, and then we matched, so he couldn't leave. He's never been an unrestricted free agent. And so this is his first chance, and if he has an opportunity, thinks it's better, he's welcome to leave. That's the way the rules are and the league is. The one thing I would say for those who just think anyone who thinks he's out the door, and sometimes national media, well, he's going to Boston, and it might be a real threat. I'm not sure why he would want to go to Boston and play with Isaiah Thomas and Al Horford and be the third dog when he can be the lead dog here on a team that's pretty good. And I'm not sure why he wants to go to Boston and play without the ball in his hands, but you know, he can make that decision for himself. But I think what's important is that if Gordon was really dead set on going to Boston and that was the only thing he wanted to do, and everyone thought that, and he thought he probably could have got that done yesterday. He probably could have got to Boston, told Boston, I'm going to resign, and they would have traded the pick, and we would have had to make the deal. And he didn't do that, which in backward sense, or indirectly, is a sign of his commitment to what's going on in Utah and how it's being built and his relationship with the coaches and the players and the strength and conditioning staff and the training staff and everyone on how this team has been built, how they've treated him and the fans of the city and his connection here and his role. He really has a chance to be one of the all-time great players. Maybe the first, you know, connection to Salt Lake since the greats, since the statues. And go down as maybe the third best player in the history of the franchise, depending on where you view Adrian Dantley. And so it's a neat situation for him, and I think he showed that he understands that and that he's not dead set on getting to Boston. He may end up there. You know, it may turn out. Paul George, on the other hand, I think made it very clear that he's heading to L.A., and I would suspect that the Pacers and the Lakers will make a trade at the draft this next year, when LA has a few more assets, and that they solidify that deal, and he moves that direction. That I think it's very clear that it sure sounds like Paul George did exactly that. The trade deadline winners to me are unfortunately two teams in our conference. Houston got much better with Lou Williams. I think they will be the. I talk about this in detail on the Locked On NBA podcast, but I think they'll be the number one offense in the NBA for the next 25 games with Williams, and I think they're gonna be tough in the playoffs for someone. They Daryl Morey said it on the Verticals draft show. If we're going to win playoff series, we're going to do it by outshooting people on threes. And so we got better at that. And I love it when teams make their strengths even more powerful. Sometimes I think that's just a great, great approach. So Houston got better. Oklahoma City got considerably better. They're just terrible with Westbrook off the floor. To add McDermott and Gibson, I think they got considerably better. Will still stick on my island. I think Sacramento moved their franchise into the correct direction and move forward, and I think they're a winner. Let me make sure this is clear. I am not saying that Boston is a loser here, but I think Cleveland is a winner. I don't think Toronto got a great deal better with the Ibaka deal, though we'll see. And I don't think they got better with P.J. Tucker deal. I'm not actually sure I think P.J. Tucker's good. But I do think that Cleveland's vulnerable right now. I just think the Kevin Love injury, I think, has some kind of unknowns to it where you're not quite sure how long it's going to last and what shape he's going to come back in, and I think he's vital. I think that LeBron is logging Kobe-esque scary minutes right now, and the fact that nobody in the East, though Washington got better with Bogdanovich, that nobody made a bit. I think Cleveland's a trade deadline winner. I mean, and frankly, if we had put the Kyle Korver deal in at that as a trade deadline deal, I think we would classify that as a win as well. So those are my four trade day winners. I don't know who my loser is. I think it'll be interesting to see over time who we think who it turns out to be. I think that often you have to know somebody else's circumstances well enough to be able to make that comment that you know what they are. Those are my thoughts. The Jazz get ready to battle tonight against Milwaukee. If you recall, the last time we played them, the Jazz shot 19 corner threes. It was the Milwaukee overshifts more than any team in the NBA. That's their entire premise of how they play, is an offensive overshift and defensive overshift. And the Jazz were able to take advantage of that in their last matchup, really considerably, and in turn hit those corner threes. We'll have to do so again tonight. And Milwaukee doesn't adjust much. They're a little bit out of the Pat Riley school of when things go wrong, just adjust to get better. What's interesting, by the way, is since Jabari has gotten hurt, they have won three in a row. And I'm not quite sure how. It's the Giannis Antetokounmpo show almost entirely. The Jazz kept Antetokounmpo into uncomfortable territory the last time these two teams met. They defended him really well. He looked very normal in that game, and he is anything but normal. He is a tremendous, tremendous star, and the Jazz were able to really take him out of the game on February 1st in that game. And that, I thought, was – so they also – they started Thon Maker in that game, which was a little bit of a mistake. The Antetokounmpo was 2 of 10, I think, with 9 points that night. Hayward defended him well, though I went back through my notes and I honestly said I'm not sure if it's totally was Hayward that was so great in that matchup. These are the games the Jazz have been winning. Below 500 teams, the Jazz have been beating these teams, and they've been remarkably consistent, and they have to be for the rest of the way because we play the fourth most difficult schedule the rest of the way, and so the Jazz have to win games of this ilk. Before we look at the rest of the NBA, let me remind you, if you'd like to advertise on Locked On Jazz, right now would be the time your company's advertisement would be, or sponsorship would be heard. And you can reach an audience of men, predominantly 97% men. 25 to 54 is 74% of the audience. If you want a little skewer, a little lower, 18 to 44 is 72% of the audience. And your company would be associated with this show, sponsoring it. We appreciate it very much. If you're interested in doing so, email me at dlock09@gmail.com. Podcast listeners are 56% more likely to interact with sponsors and that they hear on podcasts and in other media forums, according to a recent study. So dlock09@gmail.com if you'd like to advertise on the program. Last night in the NBA was interesting. I don't want to make too big a deal out of it, and I'm obviously on my island pretty far out, out there of what I think that I think. And I don't necessarily, I'm not, let me make sure this is really clear. I have not said that I think that the trade makes New Orleans less good and Sacramento better. I just think it's the right move for Sacramento. That's kind of my point. But last night was New Orleans' sixth worst defensive game and 14th worst offensive game of the season. So it's going to take some time. On the flip side, Sacramento, without Boogie Cousins, had a defensive rating last night of 99.8 against the number one offense in the league in the Denver Nuggets. So they really defended last night. Now, they have done this a few times recently. They had a good defensive game against the Warriors. They had a good defensive game against the Celtics, and they had another good defensive game against the Pelicans recently. So Jaeger's system might have been kicking in. But let me put that, so they've done this a few times, but to put this in perspective, from December 18th to February 3rd, the Sacramento Kings only had one night in which they had a defensive rating under 100. And by the way, in that Boston game, Boogie didn't play when they were at 96.0. Boogie didn't play. So they just pointing it out there. Now, I know all the statistics say they're better when he's on the – okay, we'll see. Their 114.4 offensive rating last night that they had was their, I think, ninth best offensive outing of the season last night. So, for one night, Sacramento was much better. New Orleans was much worse. We'll see. If New Orleans doesn't work right away, it will be interesting to see when Boogie erupts. Draymond Green's a jerk. I don't really know what else to say. I mean, what he said to Paul Pierce is just cruel. He told Paul Pierce, they don't love you like Kobe. You thought you were having a going away tour and you're not getting it. And I'm just like, why? Like, why? Like, why are you digging into Paul Pierce? The third quarter last night was vintage Steph Curry and seriously awesome. And then Lou Williams was just great for Houston last night. Just great for Houston last night. And vital, vital fourth quarter performance by the Trailblazers. I don't think they could have afforded to lose to New Orleans. They were down a considerable amount, I think. They were down, I think, 10 or so. They won by 9. They were down about 9 at the half last night. And I was like, holy smokes. But they were able to outscore the Magic 35-18 along the way and get that win. That's about it, I think. We'll see. That playoff race is going to be interesting. That was a big loss by Denver last night. They had a chance to go up for that eighth spot. So Denver's got 32 losses. Sacramento's got 33. The Blazers have 33. The Pelicans have 35. And Dallas, who got considerably better, by the way, with Nerlens Noel and dumping Darren Williams and Andrew Bogut. Getting rid of those two is a big, big positive for them. And Justin Anderson are only two back in the loss column. I think Dallas could get back in this one before they're done. I have not talked about Darren today because I think I've said it. We're not doing anything with him now. It doesn't make sense right now. It might in the offseason. The door is not closed to Darren. Darren, I think, is if he can adjust to his new role as a aging veteran rotation player, I think his versatility will make him a really good player around as he ages. If he can adjust to that, that's a huge question of whether or not you can do that. I've talked to Joe about it some. It's not an easy thing to do. So, but not now. I think, you know, Dante playing is still really important. And Dante seems really in a great place talking to him after practice yesterday. So hopefully it'll play out. All right, big one tonight for the Jazz. Then we'll head to Washington and then Oklahoma City. See if we can get 2 or 3 on this trip. We play a lot of plus 500 teams. We play a lot of playoff teams. We play a lot of difficult games. Let's see if we can start stealing some. This has been Locked On Jazz, brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai. Appreciate the Murdoch family so much and enjoying driving my Santa Fe. You should add Hyundai to your list of cars you're going to look at. This has been Locked On Jazz. Jazz season tickets for next season are available. And get your tickets and playoff tickets for this upcoming season as well. And I'm sure you heard about the reunion event, didn't you? We haven't even talked about that. Holy smokes, how have we not talked about the incredible reunion event that's upcoming. But if you have not heard about it, the 97 Western Conference Champion Reunion, the ticket offer is $48. It's March 20. There's a ticket offer. It includes that game against the Knicks on March 22nd. It also includes a ticket against the Blazers game April 4th and the Bighorns and the Stars if you want to go see that game as well. So that's what's going on. That should be a fun game. All right, that is Locked On Jazz. Hope you have a great day. Enjoy the broadcast tonight. I look forward to talking to you then.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.